You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We are speaking with Refused, a hardcore punk band originates from Sweden. They separated in 1998 and regrouped in 2012 with their latest album, Freedom, which was released in 2015. And next year they will be joining us in New Zealand for Laneway 2017. We are speaking with our lead singer, Dennis Lixon. Good morning, Dennis. I suppose it's not morning.
Is it? No, it's night here, but it's all right. Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning or evening. I suppose I kind of wanted to start things off with a big question that you've probably been asked a lot, is what ignited the return of Refused?
Well, the first time around, it's one of those things where everything was just aligned for it. Like we broke up the band in 98. We didn't like each other.
Right.
And in 2012, when we got back together, for the first time in 14 years, we all lived in the same city. We were all making music together, but in different constellations. And then, we were hanging out, and then we got the offer from Coachella, and we started talking. And then it was just like one of those deals. Like, people looked at the schedules and said, like, yeah, next year I'm not really doing anything. And then we did it. It was like, you know, for a long time, we were very proud over the fact that we didn't get back together. It was like a certain pride in that. And then one day we just kind of realized that it turned to arrogance when a lot of people wanted to see you play and a lot of people wanted to hear your music, and we're just like being like kind of dicks about it. So
that's
what happened.
Was Refused kind of like your guys' first major music project?
Yes, it was. I mean, we were young kids when we started the band. I was 19 and David, the drummer, was 16 when we started the band.
Young.
The first thing, I mean, we had bands before that, but then it was like our first band. It was like the formative years of our lives, you know. And we did it for 7 years, and it's super, super intense. And then during those 7 years, you grow a lot and you change a lot. And then at the end, we were different people, and it took a 14-year break to sort of make us come to terms with each other again.
Did you find that at the end of like your first round of being Refused that you were making music more for other people or for the listeners or for the recording company rather than you guys wanting to make the music for yourselves? Was there that separation?
No, that was not the case. I mean, we were writing music on our own terms, but it was more of a fact of, I think in the end, we wanted really different things with the band. I mean, it's like, it is one of those cliches, like you break up over musical differences, which it kind of was. I mean, we didn't get along. We toured too much and it burned us out. And then when you're a burnout person and you're not, you know, you're into something different than you get on each other's nerves, and that's kind of what happened. We got on each other's nerves. We had different ideas what the meaning of the band should be, and then we got into a fight and we broke up.
Yeah, but looking at Refused now, has your guys' approach to making music changed since this temporary hiatus?
Yes, of course. I mean, it was 14 years.
Yeah.
For 14 years, we didn't play together, and it was like 17 years between the two records. So we all done different things. We all lived. I mean, that's like a lifetime of living, like 17 years. So the approach to what we wanted Refused to be and the way we create music was, of course, very different when we got to back together in 2012. And also when we started writing, it was like a different, I mean, it was the same people, but it was almost a different group, you know what I mean? It changed a lot.
What was it exactly that had really was the significant, like, core change to the writing?
I think the biggest change for me, at least, was that I've let go of the ego. The kind of it was kind of a hindrance before, because when you're a young person, everybody kind of wants to be the peacock. Everybody wants to be that guy. And when we came back together, it wasn't that important to position yourself as that person anymore. So when we started writing, it was all about the art. It was all about the music, and that was the most important thing. It wasn't like back in the day, I wrote something and then someone said, that's not good enough. You got super bummed out. Now it's like, if you came up with an idea and someone said, I have a better idea, you're like, oh, cool, yeah, that is a better idea. And I think that was the biggest change. Like, just finding our roles and defining our roles in the band and what we, you know, what we wanted it to be, and kind of like the band as an idea took precedent over our egos. Mm. I think that was like the biggest change.
Yeah. Awesome. And I wanted to ask you, what does punk music mean to you? Because, I mean, me personally, I find punk music quite hard to immerse myself into it. And it's always really, really just interesting to kind of hear what the artist's view on punk music is and what the meaning of it is for, yeah, yourself.
Yeah, it's one of those, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, of course. But I think for me it was... what punk rock meant for me, and maybe what it represents today, might be two different things. But for me, punk rock was liberation. I was from a working class small town in the north of Sweden. I was destined for nothing. I was one of those guys that me in school is not compatible, and I was destined for nothing. And I wanted to play music, but I always felt it was very... It was like you had to become a rock star to play music. And I discovered punk. And it was, there was a simplicity to it and also an honesty to it that made me realize that this is something that I actually can do. It was a way to sort of channel all these like teenage angst and energy. And for me, punk rock was liberation. I mean, for me, punk rock was the idea that anything is possible. I think for a lot of people, punk rock is maybe the opposite, that it's like a really, really small room, and you sit in this really small room and you say, I'm not getting out of this room. But for me, it was like, punk rock was like kicking down all the walls of perception of what I was supposed to be as a person. Mm. I was never meant to be a musician. I was never meant to be an artist, but punk rock gave that to me. So it was a liberation. It's something that took me from where I lived, both mentally and physically, made me able to open my mind and discover a brand new world. And it made me also travel the world. So it was like, that's what it meant to me.
I mean, you can definitely see that whole breaking down the walls, especially because you are the vocalist of the band, and your vocals must demand so much of you. Like, how do you work on your vocals to make sure that they're, one, like being taken care of, because it's intense stuff that you have to work on. And yeah, like, what's your approach as the vocalist?
It's hard to describe it, because it's like your vocal cords, like a muscle you have. So the way I scream and the way I use my voice is, it's just something that I worked out over the years. This is something that I could do. I mean, I'm a very good singer, like a proper, I can sing properly, very good, but would refuse. There's like an intensity to the music that demands more. And yes, it's quite taxing to, I mean, we play for 1 hour and 20 minutes sometimes, and to do this kind of screaming, very extrovert, violent music, it takes its toll. But it's a matter of, like with anything, it's a matter of practice. I've done it for a very long time. It's something that I have. It's a voice that, you know, over the years I developed this. And I think the hardest part for me is to stay physically in shape, because our shows are very...
demanding.
Yes, they are. They're very demanding. And when we play for an hour or whatever, I am completely beat. I'm one of those guys that, like, we play the show, I go to bed.
Yeah.
I got nothing left to give after that. So.
Hey, well, that's really awesome to kind of hear that, like, that's your approach to your vocals, and also to the fact you play your show and you do that, and then you chill out. Like, that should be how it is sometimes for musicians. But you go.
Yeah. No, but it's because for me, music is... music is the reason why I'm here, why we're playing shows, why we're going on tour. It's not the after party. I'm not interested in the after party. I'm there to work and do the thing that actually connects me to myself and to the crowd, and it is to play the shows. I mean, I like to hang out sometimes, but it's like it's a very demanding physical sort of activity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I want to be able to be fully present when that happens, not to think about what's going to happen next and what's going to happen tomorrow. So, yeah.
Well, we're really excited to welcome you to New Zealand for Laneway. What can people expect from you?
Well, you know, it's we're not one of those bands that come with, you know, a huge production and you know, bells and whistles. We're one of those bands that just get up there and we play really loud and we work really hard. So that's what you can expect, I think. I mean, we're a band and we play music.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
I'm very excited. I've been in New Zealand twice.
So oh, awesome.
I'm very excited to come back and play with Refuse. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be really great to have you here. And it's going to be nice to involve you into the Laneway Festival. I'm sorry, Dennis, I don't have any more time to be able to talk to you this morning slash this evening. But it was really, really great to chat with you and really excited to have you down here in New Zealand.
Yes, I'm very excited too.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us.
No worries. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.